thankful for the way these stories hold on to the lifetime we won't give back. I know these rivers carry
Welcome to Kankakee Podcast, where we talk about the people and places of Kankakee County. I'm Jake Lamore, and I'm pretty excited. I'm always excited about every single episode we do and that we've done so far. But today's is another one of those where I'm sitting down with someone I literally barely know anything about. And just happened to have stumbled across them on Instagram. And that excites me because it's like, oh, something new is a new person here in Kankakee that's doing something amazing, something incredible. It always excites me, you know, to continue to discover people. So we have Daryl Damper on the show today. Welcome, Daryl.
Yes. How are you guys doing? Good evening.
It's great to have you here. Thank you for agreeing to do this. So I follow hashtags on Instagram. And one of the hashtags I follow is Kankakee, of course, because this podcast is about Kankakee. So I happened to come across your Instagram account, and you had posted one of your pieces of artwork from one of your comics.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I was like, that's cool. It's like, I've always wondered if there's anyone locally in the area that does comics, you know, and right there, boom.
Right on time.
Yeah, right on time, because you had used the hashtag Kankakee, and I thought, oh, this is great. And then the ball went rolling from there. We started DMing each other, and I was definitely drawn in by your work. It's really colorful. It's very sharp. I actually have a couple of the comics in my hands right now, and it's High Top, right?
Yes, correct.
So we'll get into that and everything. But first, I want to start out. So where does your life begin? Does it begin here in Kankakee? Where were you born?
Actually, I was born in Omaha, Nebraska, surprisingly.
Okay. I wonder, because I just was thumbing through this as the theme song was playing, and I saw that your character, High Top, is from Omaha, Nebraska.
Yes.
So how did you end up here in Kankakee?
My mom moved out here, and I actually moved in with her when I was in seventh grade. So I was back and forth between Omaha and Illinois until my sophomore year in high school is when I officially moved here officially, and I went to St. Ann, Illinois.
Okay. So your mom's originally from here?
She's originally from Nebraska as well, but then she moved out to Illinois, to Kankakee. And then they moved out to Hopkins, and then I moved in with them to Hopkins Park. And then we moved back to Kankakee when I was in seventh grade, and then we were back and forth from Hopkins and Kankakee, and officially stayed in Hopkins until when I was in 10th grade. So I graduated from St. Ann High School and all that stuff.
Okay. What year did you graduate?
2006.
Okay. When did you start getting fascinated with comics? Did that start at a very young age for you? And how did you get introduced to them?
Actually, funny story. When we lived in Kankakee, I was in, like I said, seventh grade. So I used to walk to the dollar store because we live right on Evergreen Terrace, right down the street from the Family Dollar down there.
Okay,
so I actually saw one of Rob Liefeld's comics. It was his... which one was it? It was one of Bloodstrike or something, one of his early works. So I was like, what is this?
And they had that in Family Dollar?
Yeah,
really?
Surprisingly, yeah. They had some Rob Liefeld's in Family Dollar. So I was like, I opened it up, and I was like, wow. So that was my first comic book I saw, was at the dollar store. But drawing, I've been drawing since I was probably like 9 or 10. I actually started drawing when I saw Spawn on HBO. I probably shouldn't have been watching it when I was younger, but that's what got me to drawing.
Who's in that movie?
That was the movie was Michael Jai White, but the cartoon is what I was referring to with the animated one.
They had an animated cartoon of Spawn on HBO?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Oh, okay. And it was Keith David did the voice of Spawn.
Okay.
And yeah, so I looked up Spawn when we had the slow internet back then with the dial-up.
Yeah.
So it was Todd McFarlane, and I was like, who was Todd McFarlane and what can I learn about him, and learn everything about Todd McFarlane. That's what got me to drawing was Spawn, and then Dragon Ball Z from there, and then been drawn ever since.
Oh, I got into Dragon Ball Z as a kid because my next door neighbor was like big into them. So like we started watching the cartoon, and then I think he ended up getting some of the video games too, and that was wild to me because some of those video games were in the Japanese language. They weren't like they weren't translated into English, you know. So that was it was pretty interesting to kind of learn about that at a young age. But but yes, I was trying to think of who was in the movie, and I can't.
It's Michael Jai White for the actual movie.
Okay.
And then it was John Leguizamo. He played the clown.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. I don't honestly know too much about Spawn. I just remember there was a movie, so that's about it.
Right.
So you know, going from, finding that first comic at Family Dollar and then Spawn, what was the first, is that about the same time you started drawing?
I was drawing since I, like I said, about 10 or 11, because I saw Spawn first, because that came out when I was younger. And then actually started getting into comics is when I saw the Rob Liefeld, and then I was like, well, what is this? And then I started getting into DC and Marvel and Image Comics and everything. So
when was it at that time that you actually like started drawing your own comics, or when did that come into play?
Actually, I just recently started drawing my own comics.
You didn't draw your comics as a kid?
No, I drew Goku every now and then. I drew cartoon characters like Pokemon, Pikachu, and stuff like that. But actually drawing my own little doodle comics, no, I actually just started drawing my comics probably, I want to say, roughly 2-3 years ago.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's amazing that it took you that long and that you didn't do it back then. I'm kind of surprised to learn that.
Right.
Just because it sounded like you really just, once you found, you know, you were exposed to that first comic, it sounds like you just dove right in.
Right. No, and actually, it's a story with that, because I went to school and everything. I was actually going, I wanted to do illustration, but then the program that I went to, I was going to the Art Institute. I went to a couple of schools. The Art Institute of Fort Lauderdale, they had the illustration program, but it was hashing it out. So it actually, they mixed it in. It was called mixed media art. So I actually learned drawing and computer animation and digital arts and stuff like that. So they all lumped it into one. But the animation and 2D and 3D animation side, I wasn't really feeling it in the graphic design. So I was like, I know I want to draw. I really don't want to do the computer stuff. So that's when I started stepping back. I was like, well, let me focus on more drawing. And then my wife was like, well, you've been drawing. So, and then she gave me a couple ideas, and then there's High Top. So
yeah. So okay, let's talk about you. You know, you get out of school. I know you are. You said you were a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
You went into the Army,
Navy,
the Navy. Okay, so did you do that right out of high school?
Yeah, straight out of high school.
Okay.
I graduated in May, joined the Navy in August of 2006.
Did you do any art type of things in the Navy? I don't know much about you know art and the military, but
They had a rating for that, but it was called, I forgot what it's called, but I didn't do it because my recruiter, not to give him a bad name, but he didn't tell me that there was a job for that. It's something media, I forgot what it was called, but I didn't do any drawings or anything in the Navy. If I would have known that, I probably would have made a career out of it by drawing and do the, because they actually have like Navy comic strips and newspapers and everything where people take pictures and do drawings.
Oh, man.
Like, yeah, I didn't.
Oh.
By the time I picked my rate, it was already too late. I was locked in, so I was an operations specialist in the Navy. So
you wouldn't have been able to
change it later on, but I made rank pretty fast, the job I was doing, but If I knew that it was drawn like that, I would, like I said, I would have probably made it a career out of it, just mm-hmm. sitting down and drawing stuff. But no. But
so what was your time like in the Navy? What did you so you said you were a an
operations specialist? Yeah, it's radar and navigation specialist. Basically, we navigate the ship when we're out in sea. It's our job to make sure we get to point A, point B safely. So we have to navigate to make sure there's no buoys and wreck ships in the way, or there's shallow water so we don't run aground and stuff like that. So I was in the Navy for 8 years. Did that. My first duty station was in Norfolk, Virginia in 2000. And my first ship was 2007. So I got on my ship February 2007. Went on my first deployment a year later. We did the Mediterranean Sea. So we did like Italy, Spain, Greece, Europe, all that fun stuff.
Oh, that must have been beautiful.
Yes.
What was your favorite spot out there?
Sylvania.
Yeah?
Sylvania. Yeah, okay. It's a little country right next to Russia, a little tiny country. It was nice.
Huh. What was neat about Sylvania?
They had right in the middle of the town was like the biggest casino that you would ever see, like right literally right in the middle of the square of the town. And that was like their main attraction. So, and it was like for the smallest port, it was like a lot of people there, and they're very friendly, and they love military people over there. So we got over there, like, oh, military, shake your hand. Like, oh.
Probably because he gave them a lot of business,
right?
I imagine, right?
Yes.
So what were your missions when you would set off on, you know, set sail, so to speak? I mean,
mostly it was training, like, because, you know, we're the U.S., we're supposed to be the largest Navy in the world. So what we do is we will go down there and we would train the European Navy, whether it be Spain, Italy, France, whoever we were training at the time. We were just doing exercises and making sure we're on one accord when it comes to doing stuff with against Iran or Russia and stuff like that. So we had to make sure we had the same maps and operations that we were doing and stuff like that. So,
and so how many times did you get deployed, or how many
twice
rounds?
I did 1 6-month deployment in 2008, and in 2009, I actually got selected, not by choice, to go to Iraq. So I had to go work with the Army. It was because at that time, during OIF, when it was the Iraqi war was getting real big, the Army was running out of soldiers. So they were recruiting people from the Air Force and the Navy. It was called IA, Individual Augmentee. And then my name popped up on a list, and I was like, well, okay. June of 2009, I went to training for Iraq in Fort Bliss, Texas. And then in October, we deployed to Camp Taji, Iraq, from 2009 to 2010. And down there, I was a prison guard doing detainee ops. So it was way
out. Oh, so you were on land.
Yes, actually, Camp Taji, it was probably like 15 minutes from Baghdad. So it was kind of, it was right outside of the Saddam's old palace. And I was a prison guard down there, or detainee guard down there, because we couldn't call them prisoners. So I did that from October, for almost a year, from October 2009 to 2010.
So from your perspective, because we only saw what we got through the media,
mm-hmm.
you know, what from your eyes, what did you see? What was it actually like?
A lot of the detainees down there were pretty, actually, surprisingly nice to talk to, comfortable to talk to. They, if you ask about the religion of Islam, they would tell you. They'll be more excited to tell you about Islam and stuff like that. They'll actually read you the Quran and stuff like that. And we had one chief down there. I forgot what they did when they did the call to prayer. Like, the guy's voice was so beautiful, our chief would let him out of his cell and sing, put him on the microphone so he can sing the call to prayer to everybody. And it was a very changing experience, like talking to actually Iraqis again, their side of view of the war and how we deem them as terrorists, but they're freedom fighters. You know what I'm saying? So they're like, so this getting our perspective and their perspective and this judging who's right and who's wrong, that's not what I was there for. But getting to know them, it was, like I said, it was a very humbling experience to get to see them face to face instead of, like I said, hearing about it on the news and stuff like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, for an average American that doesn't get outside of the country and just kind of lives through whatever it might, whatever media platform it might be, you know, whether it's television or social media, newspapers, all that stuff. You know, we hear the word Islam and we just freak out.
Right.
Like, oh my gosh, like, you know, it's like we automatically think it's like the worst thing in the world.
Right.
Where it's actually just a certain group of extremists.
Right.
Right. That are the, you know, the bad ones. And I'm not saying the media doesn't say that. They do say, well, it's just this certain group that's, you know, extremists in Islam or whatever. But I was just curious to actually hear from someone that's been there what it truly was like at that time.
Right. Well, even with that, with the extreme Islam, just like Christianity or Judaism or whatever, it's a religion. So Islam, just like in Christianity, you have your extremists. So Islam is not a terrorist group. It's their form of religion is Islam, which means peace. So they're supposed to be a peaceful religion. But in their Institute of Islam, they have, what do you call them, Takfiris and jihadists, which they take the form of Islam times 10. And that's where you get the so-called terrorist attacks from them. And so in our cells, when we had the detainees, we had different fractions of the Islamic group in there. We had the from green to red, which were the pacifists, some of them were just arrested, probably wrong place, wrong time, trying to see what was going on with them. And then we actually had extremists, which were in the red span, who were actually Takfiri, and they actually did this, or they got caught building bombs or doing stuff like that. So you had some,
so those are the kind of people that you were overseeing, prisoners in this particular camp. And one thing I'm surprised by is that they actually had to dip into the Navy or other branches to get. I'm surprised there wasn't enough already just from.
It lasted a couple of years. I want to say it went from 2007 up till 2010. So, or 2011. Because I think when I got out in 2014, and when I was getting out, I think a couple of my friends were still getting selected to go over in Iraq. So it lasted a couple of years and they were doing the IA thing. So
after that, What did you do in the Navy?
Went back to my ship, back to Norfolk for a little bit. And then, what was that, 2010? Summer of 2010, got orders to go to, for another year. I went to my ship for another year. In 2011, I got selected to go to Key West on shore duty. So, because in the Navy, you do 5 years on ship, 3 years shore duty, go back to the ship for another 5 years until you do your 20, if you want to stay in for 20 years and retire. So I did my 5 years on the ship. Got shore duty. I got stationed in Key West in the summer of 2011. I want to say June or July of 2011. So I went to Key West, Florida, party port. So
I was going to say, must have been pretty nice.
it was. I had some fun times down there. Met a couple cool guys down there. And actually, that was a joint task force. So we actually worked with everybody over there as Marines, Army, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard down there. So, and actually, Navy and Army from other countries as well, from Venezuela and South.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so. Are stationed there as well or have?
Yeah, it was like a whole combined duty station of everybody down there.
Oh, wow. That's cool. And then from there, you went back to a ship or you?
No, I got out after
that. You got out after that, yeah, because you didn't do the 20. But I mean, 2006, 2007 to 2014?
Yeah, I did 8 years.
Yeah, that's a pretty good haul, I would say.
Yeah.
So, were you married at that time too?
I was, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So was your wife at home or was she able to come with you to these?
That was my first wife. I'm actually married again, remarried. Uh-huh. What they say in the Navy, the saying is, if you're not married three times, you don't make chief. So, that was my first
wife. Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
So that was my first wife. And when I met her, she was working, but she actually agreed to be a stay at home. So when I was at the ship and everything, she was at home, like that. I had my second child with her. I had a daughter out of high school, and then my son was born from that marriage. So she was staying at home and watching him and stuff like that. So,
okay. So you get out of the Navy, 2014, then what do you do?
I went to school.
That's when you went to the art school.
Yeah, the art institute.
That you talked about earlier.
Yes.
Okay.
And then my wife called me a career art student because I was going to school for a couple years. So my GI Bill ran out. So actually, I was on my last leg. I actually transferred up to, I moved back to Virginia. I was in Florida for a couple of years, moved back to Virginia. I went to the Art Institute of Virginia Beach. It was my last school. I was 8 months shy of graduating, and then my GI Bill ran out, so I didn't have the money. So from the art and everything else, I just became a self-taught artist, YouTube videos, tutorials, Instagram, stuff like that. So if they would have took an associate's degree, I would have my associate's degree, but I didn't earn my bachelor's. So everything that you see drawing and stuff on my Instagram is self-taught and stuff like that. So
that's really cool, man. So let's talk about High Top now. Who is High Top? Well, who is this guy?
High Top is Anthony Shaviv, born in Omaha, Nebraska. He's 20 years old. He gets, and he's 15, he has a friend named Samuel. They're walking from the movies, this in the wrong place, wrong time, walking through the alley, and some cops come in and give him some trouble, and then they take Samuel. So he's the cops, you know, beat him up, and they take Samuel, but he doesn't know what happened to Samuel. They just put him in the back of the police car. So that's at 15. Now, 5 years later, the tragedy of Samuel being taken has turned him into a vigilante. So he's on the streets trying to clean up crime and make sure that doesn't happen to other set of teenagers as well. And on still looking for Anthony because it's been, I mean, Samuel. So it's been 5 years and he still hasn't found Samuel. So he dubbed himself High Top because hence the High Top in the name. He had, yeah, he always had a High Top.
He's got a High Top hair. His High Top is interesting though because it's not like a High Top and then it's completely flat.
Right.
There's like
I wanted to make it different. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like two, like plateaus or
right.
whatever. You know, he's got, technically, he's got two High Tops almost.
Yeah, I wanted to make it unique, not just the kid and play High Top. Or
yeah.
Whatever. So I
oh,
to...
yeah, you have to. It's a comic. It's
right.
It's a character. It's, mm-hmm. You know, you can make it whatever you want. That's what's so cool about, you know, having that creative blood, mm-hmm. and whether it's comics or, you know, making movies or whatever, like, the possibilities are endless.
Right.
So this is awesome. So what inspired the High Top character? I mean, he's born in Omaha, Nebraska. Is this supposed to be someone that you grew up with or you or someone that you imagined being as a kid? Like, where did High Top, you know, start in your mind?
Actually, it's a combination of probably all of the above. And actually, when I was in Virginia Beach, I was in the Art Institute. So I was going to school, and I was talking to one of my professors. One of the last classes I took before my GI Bill ran out was advanced illustration, and we actually had to make our own comic for the final of the class. And I was just brainstorming. I couldn't think of anything. And then talking to my wife and everything, and then talking to the professor, it was like coming up with brainstorming ideas, what should I do, and how unique character. And I was like, I'm trying to do something that nobody's ever done before, seen before. And then that's when we came up with, talked to him, but I came up with it with the High Top, the character High Top. He's like, well, just do something that's unique and out the way that nobody's ever, you know. And then my wife encouraged me, and then High Top. I was like, well, I didn't have a name for him. He was just High Top for probably like 2 years. And I actually just came up with the name Anthony Shaviv.
His real name
yeah.
from, besides the,
right.
you know. So is he a superhero or... Is you? I think you said vigilante.
Yeah, it's
he's not exactly like he's.
Yeah, he's not a straight laced Captain America, nothing like that. He's actually probably I want to say he's a mix between Deadpool and Batman.
Oh, okay.
He himself doesn't have powers, but when he gets it, when you look at issue two, he gets his gauntlets, and there's a whole story behind the gauntlets as well. And those is actually give him his power. So with the gauntlets, he has and penetrable skin. He has super speed and some real agility reflexes, and it makes his like pretty much unique brain and everything like that. So he's genius level intellect and everything with the gauntlets and everything. Mm-hmm. So without the gauntlets, when you read in issue one, he's trained in like five different styles of karate and kickboxing, and you'll see that when you read issue one. So he already knows how to fight. So now with the gauntlets, it's pretty much everything is enhanced pretty much times 10. So
okay, wow, that's cool. So when you were in school and you had to write or you had to put together a comic book
mm-hmm.
for your final exam, you said?
Yes.
Right? Was it High Top?
It was. Actually.
It was
It
high
was
top.
A real... Okay. First draft of High Top, yes.
So what was the first draft like compared to the actual like number one High Top that's in my hands right now?
The very first one I actually was going to make a story. I actually was going to continue from the final that I did, but I ended up changing it. The original high top was actually going to be, he got gauntlets, and he already had the gauntlets. He was a crime fighter. The whole backstory changed and everything. He actually went out on one of his vigilante missions, and he actually accidentally killed a civilian when he was trying to stop somebody, and the city and the police and everything were looking for him, so they put up wanted posters and everything. So now he was going to struggle with, should I continue to be a vigilante out here, or should I turn myself in for accidentally killing this civilian? And I thought, I thought at the time it was a good story, but I was like, I don't know how I'm going to keep continuing this story, so I changed it up a bit. But that was the original high top story, was he went out, used his gauntlets for the first time, accidentally killed a civilian trying to save him, and then he was on the run ever since. So that was the original high top story.
Anthony, right?
Anthony Shaviv, yes.
So Anthony Shaviv, what does he do during the day? Or when he's not high top, what is he doing?
He works in the community center with the kids and everything. So.
Oh, okay. So he's good. Mostly all around.
Yeah, he's the, like I said, because of the tragedy that struck with his friend Samuel, he got more involved in the community. So now he's with the community with the kids and everything. He's like a community outreach person and stuff like that. So he talks to kids and helps them go on the straight and narrow path and stuff like that. And at night, he's a vigilante and makes sure there's no drugs in the neighborhood and stuff like that. So
that's good. What was the hardest thing getting this finally off the ground after you probably had been wanting to do this forever?
Yes.
Right? What was the hardest part?
Actually just coming up with a stable story and continuing it, because now I have it all fleshed out. Like I said, with my current wife that I'm with now, she actually helped a lot with the development and the character doing with High Top and stuff like that. So the hardest thing was this fleshing out the story, getting the characters drawn, because with the layout with the comic is you have to have character references, you have to have a character background sheet for pretty much, if you want to do like the main title characters, you have to have the turnaround sheets for the drawings, their backstory, what they're going to do and stuff like that. So that was just fleshing that out, getting his character right, getting the villains right, and getting he doesn't live with them, but he was raised by his grandparents, which is a reflection of my life as well, raised by his grandparents and stuff like that. So getting them right and this, the overall development of High Top, letting him be his own character instead of following the footsteps of Spawn, Captain America, and all these famous comic book characters. He wants to break out and, you know, be his own character. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I like that a lot. And what's a big misconception a lot of people have about comics? Because like myself, like mm-hmm. I don't know a ton about comics. Like this is the first comic or comics, you brought two of them, that I've ever owned, which I'm super excited about.
Right.
By the way, I'm super stoked, and I'm super stoked that it's from someone that lives in Kankakee.
Well,
so this is really exciting for
right.
me. But yeah, what's the big misconception about comics and things surrounding the comic?
I would say
community.
Probably the drawings and the story. Like, oh, anybody can write a comic. It's not as easy as it sounds like. Because the average comic is between 20 and 23 pages. And then from there, if it goes up 24, 25 pages, it starts to become a graphic novel. So you have to time constrain it. You have to keep it within the panels that you want. And if you do too many panels, you got to erase some. So it's a very time constraining and articulated thought process to make a comic book. Because if you flip through some of the pages, like you have to do the actions and drawing for each panel. You have to write a script and say, okay, script one, panel one, this action needs to be done. Panel two, this action needs to be done. And if you go over that, you can either mess up the flow of the pages, or is it going to be too short, or is it going to be too long? Now you're into graphic novel territory, and you have to change the whole thing to a graphic novel. And it's just, so is this, that's...
What is the difference between a graphic novel and a comic
book? Just the pages.
It's just the pages?
The numbers. Like I said, comics is between 20 and 24 pages, or 23 pages. And once you start going above 24, 25, then you start going into a graphic novel territory.
Okay.
So it's just the thickness and the pages of the book.
So really, if you just like doubled this.
Yeah, it'll be a graphic.
Well,
if I combine those two,
it would be considered a graphic novel.
Correct.
That's interesting. So it really all has to do with length. It doesn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the, when you do that, like I said, you have to time it right, because if I would have went over 20 something pages, it would have been a graphic novel. And then I would be like, I had to scrap this page and take this page out and add it to the next issue. So to keep it a comic book. So.
Yeah. What is the comic book world like compared to, you know, years ago with technology changes and everything like that? What is it like?
Not being a professional myself, because I'm independent, so I'm not working right. with. But I can say, working traditionally when I was growing up, drawing on paper versus digital, it's 100 times easier doing digital work, because with digital work, if you mess up, you can save it and then you can just erase it on the computer, versus drawing on a piece of paper. If you mess up a comic page back then, you couldn't erase it because you were inking it. So you would have to tear that off and draw it all over again, versus on the tablet, you can, oh, I messed that up, let me just erase that real quick.
I was going to say, so yeah, how do you draw your comics digitally? You use a tablet with like a stylus of some kind?
And yeah, it's a pen, and it's a Wacom tablet. It's like, I have like the 24 inch.
So wow.
So it's like this big, and it just sits right on my desk, and I just draw, and I hook it up. I have a Mac, so it just plugs in. So okay. I draw right on the tablet, and I can see it on my Mac. So I'm like this and this and this.
Looking over. Yeah. Okay. And what's the software that you use and other comic book
I use,
creators
Clip,
use?
Well, for me, I use Clip Studio Paint, which is for those who want to do comics. That's the easiest software to do, because it has the layouts and everything for you, and it comes with references and 3D models that you can use to draw your references and all. And it's the software Clip Paint Studio, it's actually made for comic book artists. Like, there's Photoshop, and then there's Illustrator, and then there's Clip Paint Studio. And if you want to do comics, Clip Paint Studio is specifically made for people that want to draw comics, because it has pre-installed panels for you, and it's just the software is just built around comic books.
So yeah, it'd be a lot easier than just using Illustrator, which is a little more general.
Yes.
You know, it's for almost anything, where the other software is specifically made for comics.
Right, correct.
Okay. And do you promote at like, or there's like comic book conventions and things like that? Obviously, with, you know, the pandemic, right. Some of them I'm sure have come back and some of them mm-hmm. have not.
Yes, but I actually just got the first one. I'm actually going to Wizard World in Chicago in October 15th through the 17th. I'll be at the Rosemont.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it is Rosemont. I know that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'll be there, Wizard World, from October 15th through the 17th. So.
Okay. Well, if anyone's going there, hit up Daryl Damper and check out High Top. It would be cool to actually have High Top there in person, right?
Oh, have somebody cosplay as him.
Yeah, that would be so cool.
Yeah, if I can find somebody, sure.
I'd like to see how they would do the hair part, you know. That would be that'd be very funny. I had a good friend one time. Her and her brother went, I think it was Wizard, they went as, I think, characters from Alien mm-hmm. or something like that. Or was it, maybe they were Alien versus Predator? I don't know. But these costumes, man, they made them.
Right.
And they were so detailed. It was crazy. And it's cool to see, like, and almost everyone does that for these conventions.
Right.
Like, they make all of this stuff.
Yeah, that's what
themselves.
It's about, the cosplay. And yeah, a lot of people, it has kind of drifted away. Well, it's still comics per se, but it's more, like I said, the
entertainment,
detail. Yeah.
Isn't it?
People dressing up as the comic book characters or their favorite movie characters, and like I said, extreme detail. And they actually do prizes and giveaways now, like who's the best dressed cosplayer and stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm. And also, what's cool is these comics are available locally as well, and for sale online.
Yes.
Where are the places that people can find the High Top?
Here, actually, locally in Bradley, both of them are Bradley, the Hordes Collectibles and Dragon's Refuge, and also my website, fourthsundesigns.com. You can pick up a copy.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, it's reasonable. It says $5 on here. So,
yes.
You know, and this is high quality print and work and everything. So it's well worth it. So what's next with High? How many issues have you done for High Top?
I just published issue 2.
Okay.
I want to say on August 27th, issue 2 just came out. I always take a 2-week hiatus between the issues, so I'm on 2-week break right now. But when I get back, I'm going to do issue 3. I already have it mapped up, though. That storyline that's going on in issue 1 and 2 is going to be a 9-issue run, and then after the 9 issues, it's going to be High Top just doing other stuff, but this main story, I don't want to give the story away, but it's going to be a 9-issue driven story for those issues right there.
So kind of like the complexity of the character and just kind of getting to know High Top and his story. And then after that, you'll kind of break away and they'll be separate.
Yeah, it's going to be separate
adventures.
Issues. Yeah, different characters. And
Oh, that'll be cool. I'll be excited to hear what characters you add to the mix. What are some of the, are there any like villains in these two issues that are going to be sticking around?
Yeah.
Are there any interesting villains?
Yes, like, actually the villains right now, it's called the Sons of the Cross. That's what the villain, that's who's going to be right off the bat in like the next couple pages of issue one. It introduces the Sons of the Cross, because like I said, he's out looking for his friend Samuel, and he's shaking feathers and stuff like that. So they send the Sons of the Cross after him to kind of stop him, slow down his operation, what he's doing, because he's getting close to finding Samuel. And with the Sons of the Cross, they are a villainous sect of cult people who collect biblical artifacts. And he doesn't know that his grandpa has the gauntlets, which he gets in the issue too, which are part of the biblical artifacts. And so they are gauntlets that was received from an angel. And he doesn't know that his grandpa never gave them to him. But his grandpa used to wear them back in like the 60s or 70s and stuff like that. He was a crime fighter himself. So all that is going to be explored in one of the issues going through issue 9. And with that, the Villains of the Cross, so they make an appearance when you read in issue 1. Like, it's not a spoiler, so it's right in the comic. So issue 1, the Villains of the Cross actually are literally knocking at his door. That's why it calls The Past Comes Knocking Part 1. So
okay.
They come to his grandpa's house looking for the gauntlets, and he doesn't know why they're at his grandpa's house. So it's a whole mess into that. So it goes from that to issue 2. And like when I do issue 2, it's continuing straight from the ending of issue 1. So the Sons of the Cross are going to be a pain in his butt for a couple issues.
Cool. And I see you have merchandise too. You're wearing a t-shirt with the cover from issue 2 of High Top. So that's awesome. I might have to get one of those.
I appreciate it. Yeah, they'll be available on my site, fourthsundesigns.com. I'm going to do t-shirts as well as I was going to order some face masks and put the High Top logo, not the character, but just the title.
Logo.
Yeah,
so
on the High Top for the face mask. So.
Okay. Anything else that you want to like plug with High Top or any other projects you're working on? Or
Yes. Actually, I forgot. Thank you for reminding me. At the Horrors Collectible on September 19th, Scott and Fred, if you guys haven't been there, they're awesome people. You guys should go meet Scott and Fred at the Horrors Collectible. We're actually doing a promotion for my issue 2. So it's going to be on Sunday between 1 and 4. And they're going to be signing, and they're going to get my issue 2 out there for the ones who bought issue 1. It's just going to be just a grand promotion of issue 2, and it's going to be at the Horrors Collectible on Sunday, September 19th from 1 through 4 p.m. So if you guys want to check that out and come in and say hi and just see what I got to offer and talk to Scott and Fred and just check out what they have in their store. So
okay, cool. And that is on Broadway, right, in Bradley?
Yes,
okay.
Right by the the KFC, kind of when you come up from the Y and the KFC and you're going down that way, it's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to see, but it's a little store on the right when you're going around that curve and with the small parking lot.
Right. There's a bunch of there. It's easy to miss some of those very tiny stores on Broadway.
Well, they actually have a sign now. So actually, they actually put a sign the other day. It's called the Horrors Collectible. So
okay. I mean, if nothing else fails, someone should just park and walk around, and they'll eventually.
Well, it's on Google now. I think they actually got it on Google Maps. So if you Google it, so it's on there. So
Yeah, sometimes that takes a while too.
Right.
So, or to show up on Google anyway. So, that'll be cool. September 19th.
Yeah, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., we're going to do the promotion and the signings if people want to come in. If you already, because actually they're sold out. My first copies actually had to come in and give them extra copies. So people are buying
them. That's awesome. Congratulations,
thank
man.
You.
That's so cool, especially considering, I mean, it's only your second issue of your first comic book series. I mean, that's awesome. So good for you, man.
I appreciate it.
Happy for you.
Thank you.
So Daryl Damper. So once again, fourthsuncomics.com.
Fourth Sun Designs.
Fourthsundesigns.com. Do you do design work for other people as
I can.
Well
I take commissions, yes, as well.
Okay.
Because I have the actual website is for t-shirts. I sell t-shirts as well. So
oh, okay.
I do t-shirts and I make my own designs and put them on t-shirts and I do custom t-shirts. So if anybody needs something customized, I print it out for them and could I have the whole t-shirt machine, the cutter and the heat press and all that fun stuff.
Oh, you've actually got all that equipment. Oh, okay. That's good to know as well. So Fourth Sun Designs, not just comics, right. But, you know, get shirts done as well.
Right. So. And I put a couple ads in the other one too. So my wife does garments and soap, and she makes organic lotions, and if you guys need that. So I'll put the website in that comic as well. I think it's a real long
and
website.
And the second one?
Yeah, it's on the back on the ad. It's finedesignblueborders.com is a real long website. But she does soaps and garments, and she makes body oils and lotions, all organic and everything. It's all the way in the back on the last page. It's this one right in the middle.
Oh, I see it now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, her website's real long.
Yeah, so finedesignblueborder.com?
Yes.
Okay.
And she actually just opened up her photography website, so she does photography if anybody needs pictures locally and everything, so she's...
People are always needing pictures, man. People, we love our pictures.
Right.
You know, like, it was funny. I was just thinking about that today because, you know, it was my my son's first day of preschool today.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was so funny. We had him sitting in front of our tree in our front yard, and there's literally me, his mom, and his aunt. We're all taking pictures.
Right, simultaneously.
And I'm like, three of us taking pictures. Like, this is probably overkill, but that's, you know.
Right, that's a reality.
That's
right.
How we are. That's
right.
How we are. But it just, it cracked me up. I just thought about, like, man, whoever's passing by right now, they might just look at us and be like, wow, really?
Right.
Three people taking pictures like he's, you know, it's like a paparazzi or whatever.
Right, it's his first day of school or something.
It was a monument. Mental thing, you know,
right.
Actually being gone and not in the hands of family or friends. It's like, whoa, mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's a, well, you've got children,
yes.
so you know.
Yes.
But, all right. So, yeah, Daryl Damper, please check out his comic book series, High Top, and also Fourth Sun Designs
yes.
as well, if you need something.
And the comic,
is
Fourth Sun Comics is the comic book brand, but the right. website's under Fourth Sun Designs, right?
Okay. Awesome. Well, awesome. Thank you so much. Nothing else you need to put out there?
I'd like to thank the Most High God, like always, for this allowing me the opportunity to be here and just promote and just meet people that's actually getting my work out there. So, like I said, just by chance, I walked into the Dragon Refuge, who hinted me at the Hordes Collectibles, and ever since then, is working with Scott and Fred. Is like I said, I think they're more excited about my comic book than I am. So I have to thank God for that, and for my wife for pushing me to get issue one done, because I was struggling for a while. Because I tried to do the animation first, and it was just taking too long. So I was just like, you know what? Nope, I quit. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing touching it anymore. He was like, well, why don't you just do the comic again? So I was like, kind of iffy about it, and she pushed me, and then in July 17th, issue one came out, August 27th, issue two, and also, actually, it's published on Comixology as well, I forgot to mention
that,
too.
Oh, okay.
So I submitted it to Cosmicology, and it's on there, so... If you guys want to check it out on the app, Comixology, it's on there as well. So, like I said, just thank the Most High God for that and give me the opportunity to spread my wings and do what I love doing. So,
yeah.
Drawing is my first passion. It's always been my passion, and actually doing something with it now. So, I'm excited about that. So, thank the Most High for that. So,
okay, it feels good.
Right,
it always feels good when you get to follow your passion, and
yes,
it just feels right. You know. So, all right, Daryl. Well, thank you again for being on the podcast.
Thank you for allowing me to come. Thank you.
Of course. Well, that's it for this episode of Kankakee Podcast. I'm Jake Lamore. You can catch up on previous episodes at kankakeepodcast.com or wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. You can find all the different links to, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. All those links to those apps is at kankakeepodcast.com. You can also sign up for our mailing list there. You can find out how you can advertise your business or become a sponsor of the podcast as well. And follow us on, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Kankakee Podcast to stay up to date on everything as well. And our theme song is by Lupe Carroll.
tend to stick to you.